Hello. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Susie. I'm married to Max, and we've had the joy of being part of Encounter for at least 5 years now. We're starting our Advent series today as we prepare ourselves to celebrate the miraculous birth of Jesus actually entering our world. God made flesh. With Christmas just around the corner, there's often the pressure to feel joy over the holidays. This year's Advent series, as we reflect on the coming of Jesus, we're going to explore how it doesn't always have to be that way. We're going to look at spreading joy, ways to have joy even during difficult circumstances. Last year, Mark asked me to give a talk just before Christmas on celebrating in the dark, when things are hard and the world seems dark. And we promptly had a 5-day power cut in sub-zero temperatures in a house that's very cold, even in the height of summer. After ranting at God that I didn't find that funny, I actually learned a lot about his closeness and reasons to celebrate him, even in dark situations, that I could know in my life and use in my talk. So this year, when Mark asked me to speak on spreading joy, so far so good, ways to have joy even during difficult circumstances, I felt some trepidation as to what might be round the corner. Now, before I say any more, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that God brought on the power cut or caused what happened in my life just before writing this. But I have experienced God's promise through it, that I will give you treasures hidden in darkness, secret riches, so you may know that I am the Lord, the one who calls you by name. It was early this September. Max and I were on a ferry heading for France with my brother and sister-in-law for a siblings' week with the rest of the family. Coming off the ferry, as we drove towards passport control, my brother had a phone call from his doctor to say some recent blood tests had returned and he had incurable pancreatic cancer and he needed to come home immediately. Max and I bundled out of the car, somewhat dazed, throwing our considerable belongings onto the pavement, and my brother did a U-turn to get on a waiting ferry back to England. We spent the week as planned, but with heavy hearts and two numbers down. Where's the joy in that? I wonder what some of you might be going through at the moment as we start Advent and we look forward to a season of joy. Loss of a loved one, a job, your health, of a close relationship, finances. I feel I do have something to share from what happened and still is happening now in my life. And I hope it's an encouragement to you that we can experience ways to have joy even in difficult circumstances. So what is joy? It's more than just happiness, which is a temporary emotion dependent on circumstances. Joy is a feeling of great pleasure, an inner peace and contentment, a deeply felt emotion in response to meaningful experiences and connections. It's much deeper than just a reaction to our circumstances. I wonder what brings you joy. Have a little think. I need acronyms to remember points in talks, and I've come up with these to express where I found joy, especially in the last few weeks. Now, I have two words. They're both people who look after us. First, WPC. Women's Police Constable, and a GP. So first, let's look at WPC. I found joy in God's Word, in God's presence, in God's creation, and then the GP. I found joy in God's people. First, let's look at joy from God's Word. The week before the French trip, I felt I should read about Jesus being the vine and us the branches. It's one of my favourite passages. It always speaks to me. reminding me that close connection with Jesus is available if I abide in him. And when I read it, I feel it causes me to draw close to him and reconnect, especially if I've allowed the busyness of life to distract me. I dwelt in the truths from those words all week, so when the blow hit, I still felt a tangible connection here from my heart to Jesus. Even though I felt shocked and carried a weight of constant pain, I felt connected. Jesus was flowing into me, bringing his presence, which comforted me and held me, giving me a deep joy. Let's look into the passage. Jesus has just had the Last Supper with his disciples, and whilst giving his parting encouragement and important instructions, suggests a walk. He's about to be arrested and sent to the cross. To say he's in difficult circumstances is an understatement. Yet his theme is joy. If you'd been passing him, possibly in a vineyard, maybe full of bunches of grapes, you might have overheard his conversation with a group of men. "I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." Wouldn't you have wanted to know what he'd said before that and learn how to get that complete joy? Well, we can listen in. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burnt. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. And then verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. The background for the disciples was that God had called Israel a luxuriant vine he had taken from slavery in Egypt and planted in Israel, that yielded its fruit, but had turned away from God to do other things that they thought would bring them joy, becoming a wild vine that was only good for firewood. But Jesus says here that he is the true vine that remains faithful to the Father, who is the gardener, in charge of the vine and tends and prunes it. And here's the redeeming part. We get to be branches attached to the vine, supported, sustained and nourished by it, eventually bearing fruit if we remain attached and abide in it. He's the God of the second chance. He's the God of the second chance. Rather than reject his people, he came to earth, as we celebrate at Christmas, and says, "You didn't do a very good job being the vine. Let me be the true vine. You become part of me and be my branches. Abide in me and bear fruit that way." We have quite a few fruit trees, and this year we had an amazing crop of pears. They filled 1.5 sacks, We put them in a cold cupboard and put the rest of them in the bottom of the fridge, hoping they would last. Unfortunately, lots of them went brown and squishy and caused the ones alongside them to rot, and they had to be removed and thrown into the compost bin. But the fruit that we grow by connection to Jesus, the true vine, is fruit that will last, no matter the circumstances. There is a but. If we don't remain attached, we're like one of those branches on the ground, dried, shriveled, and unproductive, and only good for firewood again. If we want the joy of Jesus in us and our joy to be complete, there are several steps that Jesus gives. First, pruning. He says, "My Father is the gardener. There will be pruning." But this too is a pathway to joy, even though it may not feel like it. Trust the Father to tend us, even though that can be painful. After a season of fruitfulness, we will get cut back. That doesn't feel good, but it's so we can be even more fruitful and produce bigger, better quality fruit. Pruning could be the loss of a job, of ministry, of an opportunity, but it's the pathway to fruitfulness, and joy is one of the fruits of the Spirit. The Greek word for prune also means to clean, and Jesus says in verse 3 that his word cleans us. How? Well, he quotes in Deuteronomy when the devil is tempting him, "Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." The word for word here is rhema, a Greek word meaning spoken word, as in the Holy Spirit bringing a word of scripture to life for a specific situation, to speak to you, to guide, comfort, or correct. Through reading his word, a word could challenge us to drop a bad habit or behaviour. Maybe by a prophetic word given to us through the Holy Spirit, we could change our direction. Maybe Jesus leading me to this passage before the shock of my brother's illness was cleaning me of self-reliance and waking me up to the need to abide in him, to be a connected branch, or I would wither and not produce fruit in the coming circumstances. We all need this cleaning because sin separates us and a break in any relationship takes away our joy. Song of Songs, chapter 2, verse 15, says, "Catch for us the foxes, the little foxes that ruin the vineyards that are in bloom." Little foxes, as opposed to full-grown ones, can get under the vines unnoticed that are about to produce fruit and chew and damage them, making them unfruitful. Those sins that could go unnoticed, just starting to become a habit, need to be caught and got rid of. In verse 7 in John's Gospel that we're reading, Jesus says, "If you remain in me and my words, my rhema words, remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you." Jesus' living words in a situation have huge power, as they did preparing me and now sustaining me in my grief. Then Jesus gets on to this theme of abiding or remaining in him. This is where I felt great comfort and joy, as the carol goes. The Greek word for abide here is meno, which means staying close, being rooted, holding fast to something, dwelling. It suggests something permanent. Jesus tells us to abide 11 times in this passage. Do you think he's trying to make a point? He knows us well enough to know we have a tendency to stray and get detached, or to try and do things by our own effort. Verse 4, "Remain in me as I also remain in you." No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. And then he repeats himself. We really need to get this. Ending, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." Have we got it? Remain attached. Abide in Jesus. Because I dwelt in this passage for the week before our bad news, I could carry on remaining connected to Jesus, abiding in the vine. As a matter of course, it just happened. A vine gives water, nutrients, and stored sugars to the branches, even more sugar when it's growing the fruit. So it sustains them to do what they were made for. It's also a support structure for them. As we abide, we're drinking in his living water, all that Jesus is, his love, his joy, his presence, and he supports us no matter what. We become one as Jesus is one with the Father, interconnected, not alone or abandoned when bad news comes. Remain in him, remain in his love, his words, his presence. He will feed, nourish and support us, and we'll bear fruit that will last, glorifying God. So we've looked at God's word bringing joy, and now God's presence. Psalm 32 verse 11 says, "In your presence there is fullness of joy." Before his diagnosis, my brother had found a new intimacy with God from a retreat he and his wife went on. On the boat to France, I was telling them of a Christian festival we'd just gone to where we'd enjoyed God's presence so powerfully in the worship and learnt from inspirational teaching, like we have here at Encounter. I was rather put out when he said, "Oh, I don't need that. I feel God's presence so powerfully on a walk in the woods or out on my boat at sea." I now see what he was experiencing. He needs to take rests during the day, and before he falls asleep, he listens to worship music and simply abides with God. God will remind him of a particular song. It speaks directly to him, and he's made a worship list of these songs. And God is also speaking to him a lot. When he struggled with the thought of dying much younger than he's expected, God has said, "This is your time." Twice, God has said to him, "I'm making a place for you." God's close presence and words have really comforted him and given him reassurance of where he's going. That brings joy not only for him, but for me to hear that. Paul said when chained to a Roman guard awaiting trial, possible execution, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." That's the bottom line. No matter what we're going through, if we're one of the branches of the vine, we know where we're going, into God's eternal presence, where there is fullness of joy for all eternity. I feel God's presence in stillness. Try slowing down, breathe, abide, and become aware of God's presence deep within you. Connect, listen, feel. I sense his presence when he speaks to me as I'm reading my Bible, and a rhema word jumps out that feels like it's got lights around it, and it speaks directly into my situation. I feel God's presence when I'm lost in wonder, love, and praise, or simply as we wait in silence after worship. It's tangible. His presence makes me feel loved, safe, peaceful, excited, hopeful, inspired, and yes, utterly full of joy. So that's joy from God's word, joy from God's presence, and now joy from God's creation. Jesus spent a lot of time in nature, using it, I'm sure, as visual aids for his teaching and as a place to retreat to spend time with his Father. It's where he chose to go after the Last Supper before his crucifixion, maybe heading on purpose to a vineyard to teach his disciples some vital lessons for their future relationship with him and his Father. For me, nature feeds my soul. Made by him, it reflects him, it reveals him. I feel connected to him when I'm in it. I sense his presence. You know, it's been proved that being in nature has mental benefits. It reduces stress and anxiety. It boosts your mood and increases feelings of happiness, calm and resilience, combats depression. And there are physical benefits too. It actually reduces blood pressure. It boosts vitamin D, which helps immunity. It improves sleep. It lowers the risk of cardiovascular and respiratory problems, diabetes and obesity. Since it's designed and created by God for our joy, no wonder it does us good. Apparently, even if you can only look out at it from a window or have a pot plant on your desk. During our week away, we were in the Loire Valley, surrounded by vineyards covered in ripe grapes ready for harvest. What a picture of Jesus' words. I had a deep desire to be out in nature, actually a desperation to be connected to it, drinking it in. We went running in it on long walks and felt ministered to by it, comforted, close to the Creator of all things. I still have an intense need to be out in it. I feel captivated by the beauty, the vastness, the wonder of it all. I sense God. My spirit is lifted. He speaks through it. The Psalms say, "The heavens declare the glory of God. Day after day they pour forth speech." And finally, joy from God's people. If we are branches of the vine, we are also interconnected. What flows from the vine is flowing through all the branches. We're all joined, one body, as Paul says. Jesus' command to us is, love one another. Through that week, although we were each carrying a heavy load of sadness in our hearts and still are, there was also great love, joy, laughter, celebration of life, good food and local wine, close relationships, the one thing that my brother feared we wouldn't have because of what had happened to him. Where did that come from? Are we just an unfeeling bunch? Are we in denial? No. I love my brother dearly. I don't want to lose him. Sometimes the reality of that hits me so hard that the pain overwhelms me, and that's when the tears flow. We felt joy because we all know and love Jesus and each other. We have his word hidden in our hearts. His presence was powerfully and tangibly with us as followers of Jesus, connected to him, carrying his presence in us. We were out in his stunning creation each day, all as a close group of God's people who love one another and have felt our love and closeness grow since we got this news. The fruit that has come is increased love, appreciation and support of each other, that brings joy amidst the pain. I feel the same support, love and care from being connected to God's people, also my family here at Encounter, and have felt lifted, literally lifted by your prayers, a bit like I'm on a hovercraft held slightly above the ground, so I'm not bumped along the rocks underneath. It's drawn me closer to you too, strengthened relationships, and all this brings deep joy in the love and security I feel. I'm so grateful to you all. So as we draw to a close, let's remind ourselves how we can find joy in the festive season, no matter what we're going through. Preparing for this talk, I asked God what was the one thing he wanted to say to us, and I felt him say simply, "I love you. Stay close to me." In the festive season, you might not be feeling happy or want to go to all the parties. You might be feeling fragile or deeply sad or missing someone or something desperately. Or like me, coping with anticipatory grief when you know someone is going to die and you've started grieving already. But you can experience and share deep joy and your reason for having it. During Advent, we prepare ourselves for the coming of Emmanuel, God with us, that made it possible for us to have his joy in us and make our joy complete and spill out to others. By reading his word and allowing it to clean us, celebrating Jesus, the word made flesh, abiding in him and experiencing his presence, enjoying him in his creation, and then connecting with God's people and loving them. So his joy may be in us and our joy be complete and spill out to others, whatever our circumstances. If you do all that, connected to Jesus and abiding in him, you will grow the fruit of joy and spread it wherever you go. It will overflow, like water spilling out. Joy is contagious. Others will experience it and want to know how to get what we've got. So to conclude, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. We're not alone or abandoned, whatever we're going through. God is with us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is the Word made flesh. Because he came, we can be connected to him, not just in a close relationship, but in becoming one part of him, abiding in him. He came to show us the way to the Father. Just before the vine passage, he says, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home in them." Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. That is a constant source of love, acceptance, encouragement, no matter what has happened to you, been done, or said to you. You are loved, cared for, chosen. That is a source of constant, overflowing joy. But what if we're not connected? Jesus is talking to his disciples who are already connected to him, as are most of us, I imagine. But if you are listening online and you don't know Jesus, would you like to follow him in a close relationship and be connected to the vine? Or maybe you've got disconnected for some reason and have drifted away from him, feeling like you're drying up and you want to come back to reconnect. Jesus said, "Those who come to me, I will never turn away." If either of those applies to you, let me pray now. And would you join in with my words in your head if this is what you want? God, I've heard about you. I may have known and loved you, but I've gone my own way and tried to do life by myself. I want you to make your home in me, and I want to be attached to Jesus, the true vine. I come to you with all that I am and pray that you give me all that you are. In your name, Jesus. Amen. As Strand Coleman puts it in his book, Thirsting, the God of all power, mystery, vital love and creative energy, the one who shapes the cosmos, raises the dead, parts oceans and sees and knows all without strain or lack. This God, who for millennia was only found on mountaintops by the few, experienced by gifted prophets, and met in the most secret place in the temple where one priest could enter once a year, now lives in you and me. Amen.